Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Leon, Langston, Linnea, Lauren, and who am I missing?
Lizzie.
It's hard to keep up with the five. I got five of my own. So let's praise God for them again. Well, here's my main point this morning in seven words. My life proves that God answers prayer. That's it. My life proves that God answers prayer, which means that my life, along with every other real Christian in the room, which means that my life and your life proves not only that God answers prayer, that also means that God is real, which also means that Jesus is real, which also means that the cross really happened, the bloody cross that he died on, which also means that the tomb is empty, which means that Jesus is alive. Amen? And you should trust him today with your life, and you should call on his name for the rest of your life. And so I want to do something a little different today. I usually would just go walk through a passage and just pour my heart out and preach through a passage or a book. But today, I'm going to grab me a stool. Now, this is a little different for me. I'm going to get a stool, and we already got the round table. What have they done, Brent? They moved the pool. They got a round table now. What's going on? No, I'm just playing. But this way I see it on the, you know, they got the little coffee mug. I'm going to do the whole thing, and I'm going to sit right here, all right? And the reason I want to do that is because I want to invite you on a personal journey, all right? Can I get personal, y'all? Is that okay? I want to open up my heart and invite you on a personal journey with me as we turn a few pages from my prayer life. We turn a few pages from my prayer life. There are many pages, but I will just flip to seven of them. And the first page from my prayer life is titled, Lord, Save Me. All right, can we get a little interaction? Can y'all say that with me up there? Lord, save me. This is where it all started right here. I was 19 years old at the lowest point in my life. I was literally ready to die. Family was facing some challenges, as all families do. I lost my college football scholarship. I was addicted to drugs and selling drugs on my college campus and addicted to alcohol. So I got home after leaving Nebraska and pretty much having run-ins with the law, got kicked out of school, lost my scholarship. I got back home to Houston, and some of my homies, they came to me and they said, "We know what you need, Kempton. You need to go to Mardi Gras." And I was like, okay, I didn't know that's what I needed. I need to go to Mardi Gras. You know, so we wasn't following Jesus. We wasn't in church. You know I was on fire, and they showed up with gasoline. That's all good. That's how we do it. And so we went down to Bourbon Street partying, doing stuff that I can't say in this audience, and just living up for my sin and my life. And a man and a woman, they came to me and my homies, we're right there on Bourbon Street, and they told us, "You need to give your life to Jesus." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, we're out here trying to have fun, we're out here trying to party, and we didn't sign up for a church service, so why are you out here on the block telling us we have to give our lives to Jesus?" Well, I don't know what happened, but the Lord started to grab my heart. I got back home. And I remember being in my kitchen, and I lifted up my hands, but it was a different kind of lifting up because I had a fat blunt. I was smoking weed in my hand. So I literally was like this, you know, and I had never heard just as I am. I just came as I was, weed and all, Hennessy on my breath, everything. And I just said, Lord Jesus, save me. And God's glory filled the room. And Jesus Christ, the one who's seated on the throne in Isaiah chapter 6, the one who became a man, God with us, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the door to the sheepfold, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection and the life, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, that Jesus came into my room and he saved me. And you know what? I got a picture. My family's here. That's the house right there. That's the house. And that very room, I was in that room, and Jesus came into that room. No Bible, no evangelist. Now, there were seeds planted into my heart. No Christian friends. Just a sovereign, awesome, mighty Lord Jesus. And he changed me. Yeah, we can celebrate. We can celebrate that. We can celebrate that Jesus Christ changes sinners. He changed me from a dope man into a hope man. All right, y'all aren't ready for that. Okay. Whether you have a blunt in your hand or a Bible, you need your heart changed by Jesus Christ. Whether you're the older son or the younger, we need Jesus. And he saved me. And Romans 10, 13, can y'all read that with me? It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, everybody in this room, I'm not assuming that you're saved from the judgment of God and hell. But right now, this morning, Jesus brought you here. And all you have to do is call up on his name, his saving name, his bloody cross, his resurrection. And he will rescue you and bless you with a prayer life. Amen? And so, that's my first page, Lord, save me. The second page of my prayer life is titled, Father, please pay this electric bill. See, I know I'm in Sugar Land. Y'all ain't prayed that one. That's okay. But I some of y'all been there. I had to pray for this electric bill. Now, long story short, I went from just struggling to find a place to stay to my very first apartment in Houston. And it was called Trails of Ashford. Now, I know that sounds real elegant, but it wasn't all of that, okay? Trails of Ashford. No, it was right there off Derry Ashford, right across from my high school, Elsig High School. And that was an answer, that was a prayer answer. But so many answered prayers in between. But one day, I found myself, LV, I found myself in need of bill money. I had started a coaching job, which is another answer to prayer. I was trying to be faithful to the Lord. I was trying to give my money to the church, but I just didn't have it. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I was on my knees. Now, I think I had read Hezekiah when he spread out some documents before the Lord or whatever. I got on my knees, and I got my bill, and I put it right on that couch. And I literally, I'm saying, Lord, play this electric bill. I don't have the money, but I know that you're my God. And while I'm on my knees, and the person next to you may not hear me, so can you tell him he was on his knees? Just tell him he was on his knees. He was on his knees. While I'm on my knees, asking God to pay this electric bill, I hear. And I'm like, I literally got up out of prayer, got to my feet. I went to the door. I opened the door. It was a man I'd never seen him before. And he said, he was nervous. He's like, I know that you're going to think I'm crazy, but I literally heard God speaking to my heart saying that I need to pay your electric bill. I was like, I mean, is this my neighbor? Was he listening to that? I mean, I'm like, no. He didn't live around that. He shows up at my house because God is a prayer answering God. And sometimes he does it supernaturally. Sometimes he does it naturally. But God answers prayer. Because listen, Philippians 4:19, it says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh. That day I met Jehovah Jireh. There's a song and it just says, Jireh, you are enough and I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. I met Jehovah Jireh and he provided for my needs. And I want you to know that he will provide for every financial need of yours, every physical need of yours, every emotional need of yours, every mental need of yours, every relational need of yours. He is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He paid my electric bill. The third page from my prayer life is titled, Lord Jesus, bless me with this geo-tracker. See, some of y'all too young, y'all don't know about the geo-tracker, boy. Everybody, remember that Terry? Everybody wanted a tracker back in our day. A tracker, like a sidekick, a little Jeep. So here I am, a new believer. I'm blessed with a job. I got an apartment. I got a little bill money now, but no car. And I got tired of people picking me up. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there, but man, it can get wearisome trying to wait on people to always give you a ride. And so I'm just like, I remember one day when it just got too much. I was waiting on the corner by Trails of Ashford, right in front. And I knew I was really a believer, for real, when I really just wanted to be at church. I just wanted to be at every service right before it opened up. And so I was waiting on my ride. Service started at 11, it was 10:30, then 10:45. And I'm like, where is he at? And then it's 10:50, and then it's 11, 11:05. And I'm like, come on, man, Reverend Wilson. Remember Omar, Reverend Wilson. The man forgot about me. I'm like, come on, Reverend Wilson. You up there preaching and don't even pick me up. It took me a while to forgive Reverend Wilson. It did. I literally went home. I was weeping. I said, Lord, Reverend Wilson, I'm just trying to make it to church. And Reverend Wilson, I need a car. And I'm you know what? So the Lord, he's speaking to me. This is how he speaks to me. I don't know about you, but I'm like, Lord, I need a car. And the Lord said, no, you don't. You need a bus ministry. It's like a bus ministry. Yeah, Metro bus ministry. Now, here I am on the bus stop. I got friends that graduated with me. They're all in Mustangs and everything coming by the bus stop. They know I'm a Christian, and they got their loud music, new Mustang, boom, boom, boom. And here I am on it, look like a little old low poly, a little Christian on the side, like waving at, oh, I remember you. Yeah. So humiliating. But God gave me a bus ministry. And I would begin to share the gospel with people on the bus almost every day. And one day, I actually had a run-in with a guy who at gunpoint threatened to kill me because I preached the gospel to him. I said, see there, Lord, I really need a car now. They're trying to take me out. But what's amazing is I got to work that day, and I told people what was going on. And this woman who really walked with God, she had a close walk with Jesus. And me and Brent have talked about spiritual gifts and stuff all over the years. I think we disagree, but I still love him. I believe all the gifts are for today and now. But she said, Kempton, I was still discerning and cautious, but she said, I saw you in like a vision driving down Bel Air in a little white Jeep. And I was like, really? Okay. Well, next day comes. I'm dropping off my mother. Remember that white, the little Toyota, the little white Tercel? She let me use her car. Dropped her off downtown at the post office. And I'm driving through downtown Houston. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is like, look to the right. I look to the right. There's a white Jeep. I wasn't going car shopping. I'm just trying to get to the next place. I pull over into the dealership. I get out of my car. I go to the car. I put my left hand on the car. I'm in the middle of downtown. This is before Bible college. This is before seminary. This is before they told me God doesn't do stuff like this. And so I said, I didn't know no better, right? I'm like, God, you're God. This, you own it all. I put my hand on it. I said, Lord, give me this geo tracker. People looking at me, driving by. I said, Lord, give me this geo tracker. I go inside, and the guy said, what are you doing? I said, I just asked God for this car. He said, that's impossible. This car is already prepared to be sold. A father is going to get this car for his son who just graduated. I said, no, you don't understand. My father owns it all. And I really believe that God wants me to have this car. So I get back home, and I get this strange call from a guy that I barely knew. And he says, it's strange, man. I just feel like I got some extra money. Do you have any big needs? I was like, well, I would like this geo tracker I prayed for. He said, well, how about I give you $5,000? I'm like, that sounded like $100,000 back then. I'm like, $5,000? For a down payment, I come back to this guy, this dealership, and I say, I got $5,000. And he pulls me to his office. He says, everyone lined up to buy this car all of a sudden bailed out for some reason. He says, you must be a man of faith. And this is a true testimony. He said, in this little car transaction, I've seen God at work, and I'm going back to church. Oh, my goodness. He says, I'm going back to church, and God bless me with this new geo tracker. Praise the Lord. Yeah, celebrate with me. It's him. Look at what the Bible, there it is right there. That was exactly how my tracker looked, my geo tracker. Look at what Mark 11:24 says. I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I know we're scared of that verse, right? Whatever, $1 billion. No, whatever means, he said a few other things too. If it's according to the will of God, and if it's for the glory of God. And so what I want to say is, let your whatever be as wide as the glory of God and the will of God. If it's his will and if it's for his glory, ask whatever you will. Some of you have not because you have not asked. I asked God for a geo tracker, and he gave me my little geo tracker. Praise God. Y'all still with me? I want to flip another page. The fourth page from my prayer life is titled, Oh God, send me a wife. Oh yeah, I need a wife, Lord. I need a wife. Because see, I was attending a church, a large, predominantly African-American church, about 3,000 members, and they, as the old folks used to say, they messed around and made me the singles minister. I didn't know what in the world that was. I'm the singles minister? You making me the singles minister? I ain't been to school. I ain't been to, so I'm the singles minister. Single, if you don't know what a singles minister is, that just basically means that there, you know, there's a whole lot of women and just a few men all together. So the singles minister, it was three men in there and about 50 women. And the 50 women was in there because it was three men in there. So it was an interesting situation. And every pretty young sister that knew how to spell Jesus, I thought that might be my wife. I was like, did you say J-E-S-U-S? That might be her right there. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to play these games. And I literally, as like I said, hey, I got saved in Mardi Gras, man. The Lord just, that's how he deals with me. I literally hear the Lord just say to me, your wife isn't here. Not even at this church of 3,000 people, not even in this state. I just had a sense like, I'm like, Lord, out of all these women, every shade on the rainbow, they all out here. And they said, nope, your wife is not here. Well, I remember one day, and I still have the calendar. I wrote on this calendar, Brent, I wrote, laying it down. And I basically was like, Lord, send me a wife in your timing. And I was just locked into 1 Corinthians 7:35. It says, you know what? If you're unmarried, you don't have to worry about the things of this world. You can give yourself to undivided devotion to the Lord. Right when I laid it down, you know our God, right when we lay it down, he had a plan. Not long after that, through a series of providential events, the sovereign Lord, my mother called me one day and she said, guess who I talked to? And I was like, who? She said, Karen Gilbert. I was like, whoa, you talking about the Karen Gilbert that I used to like back in East St. Louis? We had met in this little church years ago, about 7 years ago. And God brought us back together after almost 7 years. And the rest is history, y'all. Look at here. This is my sweetie. I know y'all think that was last week. That was 22 years ago, 23. The rest is history. That was on our honeymoon. And guess what? Today marks our 23rd wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, babe. 23 years. Come on now. Y'all can do better than that. God, give me a wife. He sent me the best one in the world. You know why? Because he who finds a wife finds what? A good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And that's my good thing. And so much favor has come to my life because of this woman. And so I celebrate you on our anniversary. I love you. Well, the fifth page from my prayer life is titled, can y'all read that with me? King Jesus, raise up my dad. Well, shortly after we got married, Anthony Turner, who's my father, who's not here today, was given up by the doctors for dead, really. I remember getting a call from his job, and they said he collapsed. So me and Karen, recently married, we went up to the hospital, and he was barely talking, and we didn't know what was going on. We went back home. We came back, and the room was empty. We were like, oh, no, what happened? They said we had to rush him to the ICU. Day after day, he got worse and worse until the doctor finally met with me, and he said, I'm sorry. It looks like your dad's not going to make it. He was literally on 100% life support. I went home, didn't understand what was going on, and I found myself in John chapter 11. Those of you who read your Bibles in John chapter 11, you got the story of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, sent word to Jesus, one of Lazarus's closest friends, and said, your friend Lazarus is at the point of death. And Jesus, the sovereign, strange Lord that he is, says, okay, well, I'm going to wait a couple of days. He let Lazarus die. But then he told his disciples in verse 4, he says, y'all, don't worry. Lazarus's sickness is not unto death. It's not ending in death. It's for the glory of God. And in that moment, some of you know what I'm talking about. You can be reading your Bible, and you can use a physical highlighter, but every now and then the Holy Spirit will put his highlight on it, and it will come alive to you. When I read that this sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, I believe that the Lord was speaking to me about my dad. And so I get back to the doctor's office, to the hospital. You can ask my wife. We're right there in ICU. My dad looks dead. The doctors have given up. And I looked at the doctor and I said, God told me, I know it's strange, God told me that my dad is not going to die, but this is just a sickness for his glory. And the doctor was like, man of faith, the religion, that's good. And I said, no, I'm telling you what God told me. Brought the team of doctors in, told them the same thing. Right before my dad went into coma, he wrote out John chapter 5 that talks about bringing the elders to the church, calling for the elders, laying hands on the sick, and God will raise them up. Me and another brother who's now with the Lord came and laid our hands on my dad. A couple of days later, I got a call, and they said, you better come up here. We came up here. My dad was starting to sit up, and they were amazed. And you can ask my wife. The nurses were going by his room, and they were like, ah! Mr. Turner's up! Mr. Turner's up! Why? Because the Lord still heals. Now, hallelujah, he still heals. when he wants to. Not everybody is going to get healed, but God heals when he wants to and how he wants to. And I heard on that day, to this day, the smelliest praise coming out of my dad's mouth. He said, hallelujah. It was stinking up the whole place because, you know, that coma breath. And he was just, but it was amazing. Listen, Jesus still does miracles, and he still heals. You have not because you ask not. Now, just in case y'all think I got so much favor on my life that I'm some kind of, you know, every time you're lining up after the service, lining up right here, and I'm going, no. Just in case you think that I got special favor, that our sovereign Lord always says yes to my requests, that ain't the case. I would have traded all these yeses in for a yes to my prayer request on February the 10th, 2003. But God said no. And it shattered me, and it shattered my wife. The sixth page from my prayer life is stained with tears. And it's titled, God, Why? God, Why? Karen and I were excited about our first baby coming. After we had suffered a miscarriage, everybody was happy for us. One day, Karen started feeling unbearable pain. Come to find out, she was in preterm labor. And on February the 10th, 2003, Christian Anthony was born. And we have just a hard picture to even watch to this day. There he is. He was born at 25 weeks, weighing 1 pound, 13 ounces. And because of his extreme prematurity, he had to stay in the ICU for 135 days. I begged the Lord to keep my baby boy in Karen's womb. And he said, no. And it gets emotional because this church loved us so well. This church loved us. I remember Brent coming into the hospital room, and I just wept on his shoulders. Because I was like, how could God do this? But it gets worse. At about 6 months old, Christian had a seizure. Then came the dreadful day in the neurologist's office when he said to us, it looks like lightning struck y'all twice. I was like, twice? Yeah, twice. One with the prematurity, boom. But then another lightning strike with Sturge-Weber syndrome. Sturge-Weber syndrome is a very rare non-hereditary syndrome caused by a malformation of blood vessels in the brain while in the womb. Sturge-Weber has caused our Christian to have glaucoma in both eyes. He has a seizure disorder. He has abnormal facial structure and discoloration, as well as severe mental disabilities and developmental delays. We beg the Lord to heal Christian. Lord, you sent somebody to my door supernaturally. You gave somebody a vision about my tracker. I mean, you answered prayer and you raised my dad up. Surely, God, you hear my prayers. Again, God said no, just like he did when I asked him to keep Christian in Karen's womb until full labor delivery. He said no again, and he did not heal Christian of Sturge-Weber syndrome. And our hearts were shattered into 1,000 pieces. And today, Christian is 19 years old with the mindset of a 3-year-old. He is nonverbal, and he still wears diapers. And yet, he's come a long way. This is our 19-year-old. He's over there. And we praise God for for him because the doctor said he wouldn't walk. He would be in a vegetative state. But look at God. He can hum any song that you sing. He will hum it. And he can dance and laugh. And the other day in the house that we're staying in, he kicked me out the house. Out of his room. He was in this room and he took my hand and he moved me to the door and he pushed me out. And he's like, I'm out of here. I'm 19. What you talking about? And so God has blessed our Christian in the midst of it all. That's our boy. And I want to say this, Cornerstone. Just like with Jesus, he was told no in the garden when he said, let this cup pass. He didn't want to face the wrath of God, the rage of God. He didn't want to drink down your judgment and your hell. But God told him no, just like Jesus. Jesus was in suffering, and like I did, he asked, why? Why do I have to endure the cross in his humanity? The Son of God was told no in the garden, just like God told me and Karen, no, I'm not healing him. The Son of God asked why on the cross, just like we ask why did Christian come like this? Karen and I have learned, along with Jesus, through many seizures, through many surgeries and sleepless nights, that when God says no, he's really planning a greater yes. I'm telling you, let me say that again. When God says no, he's planning a greater yes. Just like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, would you take this thorn out? And Jesus said, no, I got something better. My grace is sufficient for you. When God says no, he's planning a better yes, because our Father's no to Jesus' prayer led to our salvation. And our Father's no to our prayer led to intimacy with Jesus that we would not trade for anything in the world. This is an intimacy you can't learn in the classroom. You can't learn in Bible college or seminary. You can't learn in Bible study. This intimacy only comes through suffering. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3:10, I want to know you through the fellowship of your sufferings. It's through the pathway of pain that God reveals himself most sweetly to us in Christ. Just like the song says from years ago, I looked it up, and it says, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Listen to this chorus. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Jesus and his mercy showed up in a painful disguise called Christian Anthony Turner, but it has blessed our lives. Well, finally, let's fast forward past many amazing answers to prayer to the 7th page from my prayer life, and it's titled, Father, please give us a house. Can y'all say that with me? Father, please give us a house. Now, we've been everywhere. So I was raised in East St. Louis. We moved to Texas, and the Lord saved me and pursued me in Louisiana, and then here at Cornerstone. And then after 5 years at Cornerstone, I went up to be a pastor in Minneapolis. And in 2014, the Lord called me and my family back to East St. Louis, Illinois. And when he called us back to my hometown, let's just say me and my wife had a little conflict. I know y'all don't have that, you married couples, but we had a little conflict. Because you got to understand something. You got to understand the background. Okay, I'm from East St. Louis. I was raised up in the hood of East St. Louis. You know anything about East St. Louis? The time that God called us back, it was, quote unquote, the number one most dangerous, poorest city in America. And so I'm from East St. Louis. My wife is from O'Fallon. That just sounds a little different, don't it? She's from O'Fallon. So let me give you a context. Okay, let me put it this way. I'm from Fifth Ward, and my wife is from Sugar Land, all right? Does that make a little better? I'm just trying to get y'all to understand. I wanted to live in my hood and reach my people. Karen loved East St. Louis. We met in East St. Louis, but she never lived in East St. Louis, so we had a little conflict. We got to a point where we both just opened up our arms and our hands, and we said, Lord, we're just going to move wherever you want us to move. So I remember one day, we're in Minneapolis, and I'm on my knees in my little prayer space in the basement, and I'm like, Lord, I sense the Lord giving me faith. So I hit my knees again, and this is how I tell people. I said, he gave me faith to ask him for a house. And I said, Lord, we're going to be missionaries. We're going to have to raise support. I'm going to leave my job. Lord, it would be amazing if we didn't have a house payment. And so I prayed, and I got up off my knees. I went upstairs. Now, secretly, I was hoping when I told my wife, she was going to call me crazy, and I wouldn't even have to go through it. But I said, hey, babe, I believe God wants us to ask him for a house. And she said, let's do it. And so I got on my knees with my wife, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, give us a house. So we got online, and we started typing, looking for a house. Just to give you a little snapshot into my city, my wife started typing into Google homes in East St. Louis. So it says H-O-M, and Google brought up homicides. And I'm like, oh, man, come on, man. My wife already don't want to move back. Now Google talking about homicides in East St. Louis more than the homes. I'm like, come on, man. And so she's looking for a house. But we found one that we thought would work. So we prayed. Went to our church. We're worshiping, 11 o'clock service, just like this. After the service, I'm over talking with some people. My wife and a man that I'd never seen before, they're talking. All of a sudden, Karen starts crying. And I'm like, hold up, who is this dude making my wife cry? I come over here, and my wife, she's crying. I'm like, what's on, babe? She's like, he said that God told them to buy us a house. I'm like, what? God told them to buy us a house? I mean, I ain't never heard of that in my life. Is he for real? And so I was trying to get in touch with him, never showed up, never called me back. I'm like, man, what's going on? So finally he calls me back. I meet him at a coffee shop. I bring my laptop with me, because we have this house that we looked at. So I'm at this coffee shop. I opened up my laptop. And before I can say something, the laptop had the house on it so I could show him and everything. He looked at the laptop. He looked at the house and said, that's it. And I said, what you mean, that's it? He said, that's the house that we believe God has for you. And here I am crying in this Caribou coffee shop, because remember, I got a disabled child, four kids at that time. I knew my hood was dangerous. I didn't want my family there. God was going out of the way to say, I got this. I'm going to provide a house. Now, here's the problem. I couldn't tell this to the first service because it was too much, not enough time, but we got a little bit more time today. And so the man told me, he said, the problem with the house is got enough square footage, but it doesn't have enough rooms. And so I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? So we amazingly got connected with a general contractor in East St. Louis. He went to the house. We were going to get some rooms built in the basement. He calls me back. You know, we're praying, Lord, we know it's going to happen. He calls me back and says, sorry, your ceilings are too low to build rooms. It's not going to work. And I'm like, Lord, we believe this is supposed to be the house, though. So he called me back and he said, Kempton, have you ever considered an addition to add on to your house? And I'm like, no, Because the guy told us, if you don't have enough, the original guy that said he's going to buy the house, if you don't have enough bedrooms, we're not going to be able to buy the house for you. But if you can get that figured out, then good. So the guy calls me back and he says, have you ever considered an addition? I was like, no, how much is that? He said, $50,000. I said, $50,000, man. I'm leaving my job. I told you, I don't have no money. But I said, hold up. There is this Jairo who paid my electric bill back in the day. There is this God who brought my wife back and gave me a geo tracker. There is this God who raised my dad up and called me back to East St. Louis. And so me and my wife, we got on our knees again and said, Lord, if you want us to have this house, then provide $50,000. Watch this. First service didn't get this one. I got a call on my phone one day, and it was a couple, a husband and a wife, giggling on the phone, like we in seventh grade. I'm like, what's going on? She said, well, the wife said, we have to tell you something. They said, you preached at our church a couple of weeks ago, and you were telling us about East St. Louis. And I was like, yes. And she said, the amazing thing happened. My old job called me after you preached, and they said, you forgot to cash in some stock before you left our company. And she said, really? And so we want you to cash in the stock. We want to give it to you. And so she said, when they said that, immediately your face came to our minds. I was like, really? Okay. And so she said, but then they started laughing. Carissa, they were like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, what's so funny? And then she said, let me tell you how God confirmed that we were supposed to give the money to you. And I'm like, how did he confirm it? And she said, well, her husband starts laughing. She said, after we prayed and we were wanting a confirmation, she said, my husband went down to the dryer in our basement. I said, okay, went down to the dryer. All right. And then he said, my husband pulled out the lint trap. And I said, okay, he pulled out the lint trap, and he got a little piece of paper on the lint trap, and I was like, all right, and he said, the little piece of paper, Kempton, it was actually paper left over from a large fourfold bulletin from the Sunday that you preached, and the only two words from hundreds of words on that bulletin were the words, Kempton Turner. And so we were like, oh my God, this is from the Lord. And so, Kempton, we want to give you $25,000, but we want to ask our church to do a matching fund. And if you know math, $25,000 times two is how much? $50,000. That's our addition. And so the Lord answered our prayer and gave us a house. You can't see it good, but it's on 2 acres, surrounded by 200 acres. We got a renovated barn and space for Christian. That's the only house in the whole area where Karen can feel safe, like O'Fallon, but I can be in my city because it's technically in East St. Louis, Illinois. Somebody ought to give God praise. God is able, God is faithful, and I want to close with this verse, because this is my life. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen. 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 So I started this way. I said, my life, my prayers, my weak, little, sinful, I'm nobody special, but because of Jesus, my life proves that God is real, which then proves and means that Jesus is real. That means that he really died on the cross. He really rose from the dead. He's really alive, and you ought to put your faith in him right now. You ought to trust in this God. and call on his name for the rest of your days. Let me read this last prayer testimony from David, and then we'll close. Psalm 116, 1 through 2. Listen to this. He says, I love the Lord because he heard my cry and my pleas for mercy, because he always listens to me. I will call on him as long as I live. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet? I've just described to you the blessing and favor that flows to the people of God who trust in the Son of God. Blessing and favor that's not unique to me, but it comes to those in a variety of different forms, to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to invite the Brooks family back up one last time to sing about this blessing and favor that can be yours if you are in Christ Jesus. So receive this blessing.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.